Welcome to Basic Gospel. We're here daily at this time to bring the basic gospel into your life. It's relevant, personal, and essential. Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. Our purpose each day is to provide scriptural answers to your personal issues and Bible questions. This is where the basic gospel intersects with your daily life. Hear it, believe it, live it. So now it's time for you to call 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. Call now. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Go ahead and call right now. We would love to hear from you and talk with you on this particular broadcast. That's a toll-free number, 1-800-677-9377. As Jesus gathered his disciples, Richard, right before his death, he participated in the Passover feast and shared a Last Supper with those disciples, and he raised the bread, and he gave meaning to what that bread was all about, and he also raised the cup. And this is what he said about that cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. So he describes that cup as the cup of the new covenant. And he was introducing something brand new to the disciples. They had heard about a new covenant. They had read Jeremiah's prophecy about this new covenant coming into being. And Jesus was standing before them and saying, it's about to be ratified. And this new covenant is far superior to the old covenant. And here's just a little spoiler alert. This new covenant introduces a better hope by which we draw near to God. Couldn't do that under the old, but under this new, we can actually draw near to God and experience a genuine relationship with Him. So the question on the table today is, do you know that you live in the new covenant? And if you do know that you live in the new covenant, then all the grace that has been poured out in Jesus Christ is available to you. If you're struggling under the old, you're allowing the law to govern you in such a way that your eyes are being blinded to the truth of God's love and grace given to us in Christ Jesus. And as our friends Andrew and Bart wrote in their book, The Hurt and the Healer, God's new covenant message of forgiveness, freedom, and identity is the only way for us to experience genuine healing. We need the grace of God. Where do we find it? In this new covenant that Jesus Christ ratified with his blood. That cross, when he died, it truly became the place of change. We went from the old to the new, and when we come to him by faith, we go from death to life, we go from law to grace, and in that change, we experience healing for these souls of ours.
Yeah, we do.
Are you new covenant? If not, it's time to get on the right side of the cross and experience that grace of God to its fullness. Let's talk about it on today's program, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Staten Island, New York, and talk to Angelo, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angelo.
How you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Doing fine.
My question is about marriage. I'm in a Bible study, and we're going through marriage, and there's some things I'm just not clear of. Christian marriage versus a regular marriage. When are you bound in the marriage?
Well, Angelo, I'm assuming that you're a believer in Christ, right?
Yes.
Okay. And are you married or not married?
Yes, I'm married.
Okay, you're married. So you... when you joined yourself to your wife, you probably stood before a pastor, you know, with a group of people gathered to celebrate that momentous occasion. And right. You and your wife exchanged vows. You actually made a covenant. A covenant took place between the two of you that you would stay together for the rest of your lives in this holy state of matrimony. That covenant was then consummated through sex, and the two of you became one. And so the Bible says, for you, let nothing tear the two of you apart. And because both of you are Christians, because both of you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have the power to love and accept one another just as God has loved you and accepted you. You have the power to forgive just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And so you work through every single situation that comes your way. And as you entrust that situation into the hands of God and allow Him to work in and through both of you, you come out the other side strengthened and closer together than you ever were before. So does that make sense to you, Angelo? So you stood before.
That I understand. Now, what about someone who's not saved? Well, they say one spouse is not saved and the other one is.
Well, at that point, you know, the two are unequally yoked.
Okay.
You know, it says to the believer in that particular situation to hang in there, to stay in that marriage because the spouse is sanctified in that relationship. Now, that doesn't mean that the spouse is going to be saved. It just simply means that they get to witness what Christ's life is all about through their mate. And so
okay.
He's saying to the one who is a Christian, stay in that marriage.
Okay.
Work through the situations because there's something greater at stake than just the marriage itself. It's the salvation of your spouse.
Okay. All right. Now, if the person claims to be a Christian, what's the evidence of knowing that they're born again? Like, you know, if they're claiming to be born again, is the person bound to stay with them, even though, my confusion is, it's in this study was, if the person claims to be a Christian, and they also want to leave, they want the other person to leave, even though they're claiming to be a Christian, is the other person bound to stay because they are a Christian, or the free, God says because they want you to go, you could go and be at peace?
Well, it says, like in 1 Corinthians 7, that if you're in a situation, you're saved, your mate is not saved, and the mate who is lost comes to a point and says, I can't stay in this relationship anymore. I am leaving. It says, let them go. If that's what they want to do, let them go. That's okay. But on your part, you want them to stay, again, because there's something greater at stake, and it's their salvation. And if you can be used by God in seeing that person come to know Christ, that's a wonderful thing.
Okay. I'm just a little confused. I'm trying to understand how do you know when someone, the question was given to me in the study. Well, you got to ask them if they're born again. If they're born again, then you must stay, and they're filled with the Spirit. I said, well, what the evidence of the Spirit is the joy and the gentleness. If they don't, if that evidence is not there, which is going to help the marriage.
Well, Angelo, I just look at it from this vantage point. You know, whenever we talk about, you know, we must do this, we must do that, we're talking law language. We're talking, you know, if you don't, you're violating the law, you're subject to punishment, your mate subject to punishment, all kinds of bad things can happen from a legalistic viewpoint. But we're in the new covenant. That's why it's so vitally important to understand we're in this new covenant. We operate by a different principle altogether, not law, but grace. And grace does something to these hearts of ours and helps us to see things from a broader perspective, from God's perspective, from a perspective of love and tenderness and mercy and compassion and all of those sort of things. So as soon as you say, if you're a believer, you must stay in this marriage, man, your flesh starts to rise up and says, no, I don't. And I'm going to figure out a way to get out of it. And then you're in this conflict. Well, if you understand you're in the new covenant, then you can respond to the Spirit's leading. And the Spirit's leading is going to be in a direction of love toward that other person in a way that's going to be beneficial to them. So we have to realize that we're not operating under the principle of law anymore. We're under grace. We live in a new covenant. We have God's Spirit living in us to lead us. And if we will abide in Him and trust Him, you're going to see God work it out together for good. You're going to see God do amazing things in those situations.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Angelo. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. I think it would be very beneficial to you. Like I said, when we come to Christ, Richard, there's a whole paradigm shift. You know, we use that phrase for business and those sort of things. You know, the old ways just aren't working anymore. We have to rethink, reinvent. And so we come up with new ways to do that. But when we come to Christ, we get a whole new operating system. Yes. And it's completely different from that old operating system that governed us, that dictated what we were to do and not do. And sometimes it's hard to let go of the old and grab hold of this new. But that's what Scripture calls us to do. Paul uses the imagery of putting off the old clothes, taking off the old clothes and putting on the new. Dying to the old, coming alive to the new. All of that is what the Word of God, the New Testament, is encouraging us to do. Because we can't mix. You can't Yes. mix the old with the new. If you do, you just lose the purpose of each. And you're just lost in no man's land. So you have to realize what the purpose of the old covenant was, and that was to identify your condition, to show you that you were lost, that you needed a Savior. And once it's done that work, it backs away, it steps aside, and gives way to the grace of God to save. And when I say grace, I'm meaning Jesus. So the law gives way to Jesus to do His work, to save us, to take us from death to life, and then to come and live inside of us, to live His life through us. And He does so by changing the way we think, by giving us new covenant thinking rather than old covenant thinking. And it's a completely different way to think.
Yes.
And if you have that, now you have a framework in which to funnel every single decision in life. And that's what we need. We don't need, you know, specific guidelines for every situation that comes our way. We need a way in which to think through each and every one, and that's the new covenant mindset. And Yes. That's what we get through faith in Jesus. So, Angelo, thanks for your call. Let's put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of that book, The Hurt and the Healer. It is available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Basic Gospel is listener-supported. We rely on gifts from friends like you. If this ministry has blessed you, has taught you something about the grace of God, has enabled you to let go of the old, grab hold of the new, if this ministry has helped you understand that you are totally forgiven in Christ, that you've gained assurance of salvation, we ask you to support it so that information can keep coming into your heart and your life through the radio broadcast, and it can go out and help others as well. All the information on how to make a contribution to Basic Gospel is available online at basicgospel.net. Just click the support link or the big icon with the Hurt and the Healer book right in the middle of it. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828, 1-800-727-2828. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Sarah listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sarah.
Yes. Yes, what inspiration. I'm awed, and Jesus brought me to you as I just turned on my 89th birthday.
Wow.
I felt something real in the right side of my heart, so I closed my eyes, dear Pastor, and I heard a voice in a vision of the mind, open up, open up. So I opened the door of my heart, and the person started to say, happy birthday, happy birthday. And then let's have a party on your 89th birthday. And then the person asked me, do you know who I am? I said, no. He said, I'm Jesus. I waited for you 89 years, and you accepted me in your heart.
Well, Sarah, that's wonderful. And an 89th...
And now, wait. Then I turned on your station, 570 WMCA, and was baptized, and I heard from Jesus, you need to prepare yourself for a ministry for your class of Jewish women and the community, a foundation. So my request, dear Pastor, could you give me an idea of a curriculum that I can prepare myself to do the request of my new assignment? Well, where is Jesus in the Old Testament? Who is Jesus? Who is the true Messiah? Can you help me?
I can help you, Sarah. We have a wonderful little booklet called Gateway to Grace. It's called A New Covenant Journey to Faith and Freedom.
Yes.
It really would be very beneficial to the particular group of ladies that you're going to be ministering to. And
yes.
It would just be my pleasure to send it to you, and you can use it. And it's just chock full of scriptures. It's just one passage of scripture after another. I think it will be very meaningful to you as you take a look at what Jesus did and who he is in contrast to the sacrifices of the old covenant and those sort of things.
Yes, but do you have a book about who is Jesus and about what happens when you accept him and baptism and you die and buried and become? I need that information also. Is that a possibility? I don't want.
Well, this book covers all of those subjects, just lays out scriptural answers to all of those particular questions. And
how many pages is it?
Well, it's probably about 50 pages.
I need more than that. I need what happens when you accept Jesus?
Well, Sarah, let me do this. Let me put you on hold. We'll have somebody pick up with you, and we'll get you all the information you need, okay, Sarah?
Yeah, I want to do my ministering and create a real foundation.
Yeah. Well, I think that's wonderful, and God bless your efforts to do so.
It's a miracle. Each day I wake up
and
pinch myself on my 89th year. I finally found the true Messiah and who I truly am, dear Pastor.
Yeah.
I just cry for joy every morning.
That's what Jesus does in our hearts. Well, Sarah, let me put you on hold. We'll get you all kinds of resources that'll be a help to you, and then you let us know how you're doing, okay?
Yes.
Thanks for your call today.
Hallelujah, and may Jesus bless you with good health.
Well, Sarah, he's blessed us with...
Wait a minute, and have your congregation grow, and your sparks will bring the coming of the Messiah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah.
What a great call.
Yes, indeed. And, it just goes to prove you're never too young or never too old. God can meet you just at your point of need, whatever that is. Statistics show that most people come to Christ as children or as teenagers and that sort of thing. And the statistics show it gets harder and harder the older that you get. But that's, those are just statistics. God has the power through his Spirit to reach a person anywhere and at any time in their lives. And when he connects with you in his love and grace and mercy, that's the right time for you.
Yes.
And Sarah, we sure appreciate your call and look forward to hearing what God's going to do through you and that ministry to those ladies. I think that's going to be exciting.
Yeah, indeed. Well, we've got an email here from a person who did accept Jesus as a youngster, 10 years old, and says, I love Jesus and I love God and I live for him every day. I have absolutely no motivation now, nor have I ever, to curse him or think bad thoughts about him. But here's the issue. He was taught that there was this awful sin called blasphemy when he was young, and that anyone who said anything bad about God, you know, was in danger of hell and all of that. And he started thinking about this later in life, and he realizes that he has taken God's name in vain, that there have been times when he committed blasphemy, at least the way it was defined there. And so now he finds himself in a situation of feeling hopeless. What is he supposed to do about this? I mean, if he asks the question about himself, how can someone that calls himself a Christ follower have this problem with their thoughts?
We all can have problems with our thoughts, and we have an enemy of our souls that is doing everything in his power to bring accusations against us. And, you know, we can go through these exercises of saying, oh, Lord, bring anything back to remembrance, you know, that I've done wrong and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, here in this new covenant, it says God remembers our sins no more. What he wants us to experience is that total forgiveness, to rest in it, to realize that whatever we've done has already been dealt with. Jesus dealt with it once and for all. But we go through these exercises. We try to reflect on what's happened in the past. And all of a sudden we remember, oh, yeah, I took God's name in vain. Well, that's just ammunition for Satan to use, and he uses it, and he uses it very effectively, and he brings all sorts of accusations against us. And the way he works, and you don't know it's him, you think it's just you coming up with this way of thinking, but it's Satan, it's an outside influence exerting deception and all of that sort of thing and accusations. And you start thinking about, yeah, I did. And there is this thing about blasphemy, and it's, you know, and I did take the Lord. Oh, my goodness, I've committed the unpardonable sin. I am lost forever. I am hopeless. And then you just keep thinking about that and thinking about that, and that fear just intensifies inside till you come to the point where everything is bleak and dark and hopeless, and there's nothing that you can do. And Satan has you exactly where he wants you to be. And the only way to break free is to recognize truth and to recognize that Jesus Christ entered into your life at a point in time where you received him. You did not reject. And that's what blasphemy really is the rejection of Jesus Christ. It's saying no to God's Spirit when God's Spirit is bringing the offer of life to you available in Christ. When you say no to that offer, that's rejection. And if you keep rejecting, your heart's going to harden until you get to the point and you say, Lord, I don't want you at all. And that's the ultimate blasphemy. Well, if you've received Christ, you can't commit that.
Nope.
And rest in that fact. Your sins have been forgiven. You have gone from death to life. You're a new creature in Christ. Tell Satan to go bother somebody else. Those accusations don't hold water. He's the accuser. He's put fear in your heart. That's not of God. Recognize where it came from so that you can be set free by the truth that you are a child of God.
Indeed.
Wonderful question. So many people struggle with that.
Yes.
They look back on their past and say, oh, I said this one little thing, and it haunts them and plagues them, but it doesn't have to. They can leave it in the past just as God has.
Yes.
Well, we appreciate that question, and we appreciate all of you for joining with us today on the broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, we encourage you to go to our website, basicgospel.net. Make a contribution. Help us continue this outreach. And if you do, we want to say thank you by sending The Hurt and the Healer to you, a wonderful book by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel for Richard Pfeiffer and all the staff. I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow.